Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
You forgot a little bit there, didn't
did
you?
I? What did I say?
It seemed like you paused a little too long.
I thought I
forgot a little bit of the intro.
No.
To my mind.
I was perfect. Happy New Year.
Yay. Happy New Year.
Yes, let's pray. We're in the fourth year of this podcast.
But we're in the third year of the pandemic.
Whatever. It's, 2018, 2022. That's 4 years. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Fourth year. That is crazy. I just hope this new year is better. That's all.
Better. Yep. Better for everyone. That is our wish, listeners. Mm-hmm. Better for everyone. It was a lovely Christmas for my family and me, and a really rough Christmas for some of our friends, and we're sending them out lots of love.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, 2022, you know, it's a nice, round, pleasing number.
True.
I'm ready for you to wipe out 2020 and 2021.
True.
Get on it, 22.
I feel like with the years, we're like playing craps. Come on, settle.
Well, we have a really important letter, I think, this week, because the writer asks a really good question. Do you want to read it, Joss?
I shall. Hi, ladies. I only recently learned of your podcast and I'm binging through a lot of episodes, but I haven't heard them all yet. I apologize if you've already covered this. I've always been a bit of an extrovert. Lockdown was hard on me. I found some ways to stay a little connected with friends. There was a group that took walks together and others that met up on Zoom or talked on the phone, but none that really filled me up. Last summer, when we started to return to the world, I was so excited to be with people again. Then people started behaving, I'm not sure how to describe it. Not like themselves, not like people I remembered, or maybe like they'd forgotten how to behave. Some examples so you know what I'm talking about. At a coffee with two female friends, we were all talking about getting our first professional haircuts since the pandemic began. And one friend said to me, it doesn't matter what you do because you're not pretty anyway. Pause for reaction. Jesus. When she realized how hurt I was, she began all kinds of explanations. Apparently, I'm striking and handsome, all of which I'm pretty sure are just euphemisms for ugly. Since then, I've seen her, and she's clearly making a point of telling me that she likes my sweater or that my hair looks shiny. It truly doesn't help. I've got a drumbeat going on underneath she thinks I'm ugly. Another set of friends that I used to be very close with have all started golfing. I know in my heart of hearts that if they invited me to join them, I would have said no. The two things I'm always short on are time and money, and golf requires both. The fact remains, however, that they didn't invite me, yet they talk about it when I'm around, a lot. I feel like I'm on the outside looking in. Number three, someone parked us into a parking spot and refused to move when we asked. When we found a way to get our car out without their help, they tried to follow us home. When we realized someone was following us, we drove to the police station instead of our house and threatened to beat us up.
Wow.
I'm not sure what would have happened if the police hadn't come out. So I'm a big girl, and I know that doesn't really matter if my friend thinks I'm pretty, as long as my partner does, and that I don't want to play golf, and that the crazy people from the parking lot aren't going to do anything to us because the police have their names. Here's my problem. Every time we're supposed to go out, I get this huge stress reaction. My heart races. There's a pit of dread in my stomach. I feel shaky and like I might cry. It doesn't matter if it's going to a friend's house or an art show or to a restaurant. I still feel panicky. Yet at the same time, when I stay home and don't go out, I feel lonely. Any advice? Is there a way for me to get that lovely, happy feeling of being with people used to bring me, or and protect myself from getting hurt and scared? Thanks so much for this podcast. I appreciate you shining an honest light on friendship, what it can mean, and the pitfalls it can present. Regards, hyperventilating at home. Poor baby.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot there. So first of all, I want to go to your last issue first.
Yeah.
That someone trapped you in a parking space and followed you home. Listeners, hyperventilating did the exact right thing. She drove to the police station.
Right.
You're ever scared that someone is following you, do that and then stay in your car and beep the horn until the police come out. So job well done on that. But that was terrifying.
And
I can understand why you're scared. I think you need to process that. It's going to maybe take a little time to get over that. Mm-hmm. If you have a therapist, I hope you've brought that up, because kind of random acts of terrorism like that in the, you know, one-on-one way, when a stranger threatens you and makes you fear for your life, that's a really big thing. And you might think like it was just some asshole in a parking lot, but you don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So great job on protecting yourself and your family or your partner or your friends, whoever was with you. And give that time to, you know, give yourself time to work that out with therapy. You might have a little PTSD from that, because something out of the blue like that really takes its toll. The second problem, the friends who golf. I can understand that they might not invite you because they know, if they know you well, that you are not going to have the time or money to do this. So, and you know, also friends are allowed to get together without you. And they might say like, well, you know, I don't want to ask hyperventilating because I know that for one, she's, you know, she doesn't ever have any time, but I don't want to make her feel bad that we're doing something kind of above her pay grade. So that part, I think you can let go. And the talking about it part, that's where they stray into rude, badly behaved friends. I think you just ask them like, ladies, I know you really like this. And even though I couldn't join you, even if you who had invited me to, I can't help but feeling a little left out when you talk about it. Can maybe we talk about something we can all participate in? You can all weigh in on. So, you know, just kind of address that. Like, maybe they're unaware. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt that they talk about golf quite so much and that it has this effect on you. So go ahead and just tell them, I'd prefer, you know, if we could talk about something. Because when you guys talk about this, obviously I have nothing to weigh in on.
Right. I'm hoping you do other things with the same group. Because I like, one of the reasons why it might make you feel left out is if you're not doing other things with these ladies where you can be included. So I'm hoping you are. If you're not, maybe suggest that you do something like that that's a little bit more in your pay range, so that you can all be together if you like spending time with these ladies, and do something together that you can all then talk about.
Right. Because the two of them can talk about golf when they're golfing. They can talk about it to each other. They don't have to keep bringing up the lovely and expensive hobby they have that you can't and don't wish to participate in. So, you know, bring it up and just address it. Say, hey, you guys talk about, you know, golf kind of a lot these days, and I'm really excited for you that you have a new hobby, but you know, if that's half of what we talk about, then half the time I have nothing to say. So maybe we could talk about other things of general interest. A television show, a book, you know, those kind of things. Now, the first thing you brought up when your friend said, it doesn't matter what you do because you're not pretty anyway. It just so happens, letter writer, hyperventilating, that I know you, I've met you, and you are gorgeous.
Okay.
All right. And And in fact, there's a picture I have of us from long ago, which I shared with Joss. Mm-hmm. And Joss, what's your opinion on hyperventilating?
Gorgeous. She's beautiful. Beautiful. She's
hyperventilating. You are beautiful. So
I'm sorry. I have to also add, I don't see striking or handsome in any of that. To me, handsome is like Angelica Houston. And right. you're beautiful. Empirically. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yes. I don't think that I would say that 99.9% of the population would look at you and say, wow, mm-hmm. that's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
So your friend that's not the kind of thing that you just say accidentally.
True. I agree. Couldn't agree more.
You know, when you say like, it doesn't matter what you do because you're not pretty anyway, mm-hmm. that's a really mean insult.
That's not a foot in the mouth.
No. Nope.
That is, to me, that is something that she's been thinking about for a while and probably has concluded that about you a while ago, that this is the friend who is not very pretty, which is why she felt, which is why she said it, why she blurted it out. Because
she's jealous of how you look.
Could be that as well. Because you are very beautiful.
You know that. But Joss and I were talking before we started the show that this is not a slip of the tongue. Mm-hmm. This is a hurtful, deliberate comment. And all those explanations don't do anything to make you feel better.
Yeah, I don't know who this friend is, but she's not. If I had a friend like that, we wouldn't be friends anymore.
I agree. I was trying to think if there was ever a time when I told a friend they were not attractive, and there is not.
No.
There's not. You know, I'm trying to think of like any friend I've had, no matter how, you know, ordinary or beautiful they might be. If you have a friend, you love their face, you love them because mm-hmm. of what's inside. And saying something like that is just so fucking rude.
It's so mean. Oh, God.
It's absolute mean girl stuff, hyperventilating. And I'm so sorry that she said that. And, you know, I really wonder what's at the root of that. And since she has done this egregious thing to you that has really hit you where you live, and you're thinking, you think I'm ugly, mm-hmm. I would bring it up mm-hmm. and say, I can't imagine saying that to someone, anyone. And yet you said it to me, and that's not a slip of the tongue. And all this striking and handsome stuff, it has done nothing to take away the fact that you have said, I'm not pretty. And I mean, isn't it hard enough to be a woman in America right. and feel good about yourself right. to have your friend undermine that with such casual cruelty mm-hmm. has really left a mark.
Yeah.
What have you got to say for yourself?
Yes, I agree. Because you don't say this to anyone you care about. You don't say this to anyone you respect. You don't have to care about them. But if you respect someone, that's not something that you're going to say, whether it's true or not. I have never come across a situation where it occurred to me to say that about anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's outrageous to me.
I would be very interested hyperventilating to know more about this friend and if she has ever undermined you in other ways, if she has a history of doing this with other friends, I would call her out on it mm-hmm. because at this point, the friendship is very damaged and perhaps on life support.
Yes.
So I think it's worth a discussion. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to us and you say, you know what, she is kind of a crappy friend and she always has been, mm-hmm. maybe it's just not worth it. And you know, like this was the final straw.
Yeah. And we have several episodes where you can listen to how to break up with friend, you know, the slow fade, the different things that we've advised before. So if you want to do that also. Yeah.
So anyway, we are Facebook friends, hyperventilating. And, you know, I met you many years ago and I looked up a recent photo of you. You're fucking gorgeous. Okay. That is just a fact right there. Yeah. And I bet your haircut has only made you look more so.
Yes, that's true.
So, you know, I do think that the pandemic has hurt us with our social graces, but that's more like I burp in front of somebody.
Yeah.
You know, because I haven't been around people in so long. Or, you know, like you stick your hand in your pants and scratch. We've all been alone for a long time. You know, maybe you forget that you're wearing, I don't know, a house coat, Joss, right?
Listen, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. What else am I supposed to be wearing?
The house coat is completely warranted. But, you know, like I have gone out, you know, dressed inappropriately in terms of slovenly and, and thought like, oh, right. I'm going to actually see people today. Shoot. I look ridiculous. I can't remember the last time I wore a bra, et cetera.
Right.
That's the kind of thing that happens in the pandemic, not incredibly insulting.
I can't get over how mean it was. I do want to mention just quickly, you sound a little bit like hyperventilating, like you have a touch of anxiety. So I do hope you're seeing someone. Hear that your heart races, there's a pit of dread in your stomach and you feel shaky. That's a little bit of anxiety-ish to me.
Yeah.
So I hope you're seeing a therapist to help you work through some of that. We all need one for the pandemic alone. We all need one.
Right. And I think that it's really hard not to react to that and think, is she right? You know, because as American women, we are very fragile about our looks. And I wrote an entire book about this. Mm-hmm. Good luck with that. You know, about how hard it is to feel positive about your physical self in a society that pushes both, you know, unrealistic ideals either on Instagram with filters or, you know, by showing Beyonce as your goddess. We're never going to look like her. And also in a food obsessed society, you know, we're all, most of us Americans eat more than we should. So you don't need this, from this friend. I think what you should do going forward to avoid that heart racing pit in the stomach feeling is make sure you're seeing really good friends.
Yes.
People who really value you. I think as an extrovert, when you do get clobbered like that, and you've had, you know, three experiences of varying degrees where you pretty much have faith in people when you're an extrovert. You assume they're going to like you and that you will enjoy and benefit from being with them. If you're an extrovert, you think, let me go out with my people and it will fill me up and expand my heart. And you've had three examples of that not being the case. So in a way, it's almost more hurtful because your expectations are, I'm going to see these people and I will come back happier than I left. But don't let them take that away from you. Just curate your friendships a little more carefully and make sure in the next couple of months that when you spend time with friends, it's with those friends who you are sure will do that for you.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So we wish you the best. I hope our paths cross again someday. I can't remember where we met, what city, but it was, you know, it was somewhere and I thought you were awesome.
And I just saw you today and I thought you were beautiful. Yeah. Just saw you today.
So own it. You're fabulous. You're wonderful. You're extroverted, loving, generous, and beautiful. And don't let the little people bring you down.
No kidding.
Joss, I know you've been sequestered. You're basically in witness protection at this point.
I love it. I mean, I love it. We were just talking about extroverts. I am the opposite, which is great that you spoke about that with Herbert, because you're the extrovert in our relationship. And I'm in my, I think the listeners know, I do a yearly winter break wherein I don't emerge from my house for two weeks.
It's hibernation. You're just doing what nature tells you to.
Exactly. That's how I feel. And it's going to be over tomorrow. Obviously, the world has to come back to life on January 3rd. And I'm so depressed about it. I'm so sad.
Yeah, you definitely have this wonderful retreat from the world every year at Christmas time. And I know it does you a lot of good. I take a social media break at this time of year so that I can, you know, just really focus on the things that I want to without spending the time that I spend on social media. And you know, I miss it. And I also really benefit from the break, and it will end tomorrow as well. You know, it's something that we advise all our people who are struggling with that kind of comparison life: get off social media.
Oh yeah.
Take a break. And it really does feel so good. But I'm just wondering, Joss, if you have any embarrassing personal problems to share during the hibernation, unexpected encounters with the Amazon delivery person, maybe the only person you've seen in the past 3 weeks.
I will tell you now that I absolutely, especially since the pandemic has drawn on for so long, I absolutely have no shame. That's what I will say. I have gotten Amazon packages on my front porch and stepped out to get them and bent over, and my whole butt is out from my nightgown. The neighbors can see everything. It's fine.
Yeah, you wave and go back inside, right?
I do. I don't even care. I have contemplated running to the bank in my house coat and slippers and like really had to go back and forth thinking, can I do that? Like really thinking about it, and almost walked out of the house and then caved at the last minute and instead put on pants, a nightgown, and a very long coat.
A long coat. Delicious.
A very long coat and a baseball cap.
There you go. That's appropriate wear as far as I'm concerned.
So the conclusion of all of these musings is that I don't know that I can be embarrassed very easily anymore.
Yeah. You know, the pandemic has taken embarrassment away from me as well. Yeah. The other night, I was here on the Cape with my niece, my beloved oldest niece, and we had forgotten to stop at Cumbie's and get our ice cream stash. Cumbie's, you are well acquainted with the ice cream that we love.
Yes.
And I had only brought one pair of shoes this time. I'm only here for a few days. And I thought, I'm not going to bring, you know, so I just brought my hiking boots because they're all purpose, right? And I just taken them off and you have to lace them up and go around the cleat and double tie them. I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to go in my bunny slippers. So my bunny slippers have, you know, a hard-ish sole.
Yeah.
And plastic
kind of
sole.
Kind of an outdoor sole,
Yeah, and so I just pitter-patted to the car, drove barefoot to Cumbie's, put the slippers back on, and shamelessly went inside.
Yes.
Dressed in an otherwise actually kind of a nice outfit, because my niece and I had gone out for dinner, and so there I was in a, you know, respectable clothes and white bunny slippers, and I felt nothing, no shame. I felt in fact delighted.
Yes. I see nothing wrong with that. Where's the problem? I don't see the problem.
It's a personal triumph, actually.
Yes, I agree. And I think the people in Cumberland Farms probably admired you greatly.
Yes.
We're a little jealous of the slippers. I've seen those slippers. They're super cute.
I got that vibe that everyone was thinking. Look at her.
Yeah.
He's magnificent. Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net and please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.